Welcome to Soundtrack, the podcast that brings you the stories and insights from the South Sound. I'm Maura White, your host, and each week we'll explore the vibrant world of local industries, leadership, and innovation. Let's dive in. Today's episode dives into an innovative solution to a critical challenge, the nursing shortage. Hospitals and clinics across the country are facing shortages of registered nurses, and a recent study predicts another 1 million new RNs will be needed by 2030 to replace nurses retiring during that period. However, nursing schools are struggling to expand capacity because there are a limited number of nursing educators, a position that typically requires faculty to have an advanced nursing degree. In fact, according to a study from the American Association of Colleges of Nursing, colleges and universities turned away more than 80,000 qualified bachelor's and higher level nursing degree applicants in 2020 due to shortages of faculty, clinical sites, and other resources. Nursing is the backbone of patient care, and the future of our healthcare system depends on how we invest in it today. At a time when hospitals across the country are feeling the pressure of a worsening nursing shortage, a bold collaboration between Premera Blue Cross and four Washington colleges, including Green River College, is opening a new, unprecedented pathway, one that allows licensed practical nurses to earn their Bachelor of Science in nursing without pausing their careers or putting their lives on hold. We're joined today by Kitty Kramer, Executive Vice President and Chief Legal Officer at Premera Blue Cross, who also oversees the company's community investments and who is a key leader in launching this first-of-its-kind nursing education pathway. Also joining us is Dr. Kara LaValle, Associate Dean of Nursing at Green River College. Together, we'll explore how this partnership is not only filling urgent workforce gaps, but also improving health equity, economic opportunity, and the quality of patient care across Washington State, and how it could become a model for the nation. Kitty, Kara, welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So excited to have you here. Thank you so much for coming to our offices in our podcast studio.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course. So let's start with the big picture. What made the nursing workforce such a priority for an investment? And what gap were you aiming to fill with this new LPN to BSN pathway?
So from the college's standpoint, for us, I really believe it was about helping to unstick the LPNs. So a lot of our LPNs graduate and there are not a lot of opportunities for advancement, or they're not readily available, accessible, or allow for a student to work, have a family, and still go to school and make a livable wage, you know? And so when we were thinking about how do we build this, what do we do to help support these students, there was a group of us that kind of got together along with Mary Baroni, who is the PI of this grant, who's an amazing person. We had sent a survey out to the 8,000 LPNs in Washington State, and we really wanted to assess what are the barriers for you continuing your education. And it was really clear from that survey that one of the biggest things was limited access and limited flexibility in scheduling. And so when we decided to sit down and really look at what this program was going to be and how it was going to be designed, those were two of the key takeaways that we really wanted to make sure we incorporated in these. I think one of the other things that we have noticed is that there's a really big disconnect between what healthcare kind of envisions and what education is able to provide. And so for us, it's really looking at how do we innovate nursing education so that we lose kind of the rigidity that has historically been there so that we can serve these students and meet them where they're at.
I love that. I mean, I think meeting people where they're at is, I mean, it's a common call to action that I've heard from a lot of different leaders in different industries. And especially when it comes to meeting the workforce need and having people be able to earn while they learn.
Yeah, you know, when Premera decided to focus our community giving efforts on rural health and health equity, we thought it was really important to go out to the community across the state to understand what was going on in healthcare out there for them, for solutions. And one of the early things we learned and consistently learned from like 80 different communities that we went to is how important nurses are. They're the glue in the community, especially for really rural and remote communities. And so when we started thinking about how could we be a corporate funder of nurses, What would that look like? And so we took that opportunity to look at not only educational pathways at the beginning or midstream through a nurse's career, but also at the conclusion of their academic progress to make sure that they're most successful in launching their career, feeling grounded in their communities, supported by their nursing colleagues, so that they'll stay in nursing. Because we also have an issue of people leaving the profession too early. And as a health plan, we want our members to get the best quality care possible. And we think making healthcare work better means making those professionals working in healthcare happier, healthier, more committed to their community, and having better resources.
Super important.
Yeah, it was really pretty critical early on in the process when we were talking about academic pathways and then focusing in on the LPNs, because they have a disproportionate share of, you know, underrepresented communities. And we know that healthcare gets delivered better when patients have a connection with their healthcare providers. And so what better way to help increase that connection by locating academic progression programs in areas where a lot of LPNs are already living and working, right? So they don't have to uproot their family. Then they can progress in their careers and be supported in that and really have places to go work after graduation immediately because they're already in that healthcare community. So that was really important to Primera.
You know, Kitty, it's interesting because you talked about how, just a little bit about how you or Primera decided to do this research and go out into rural areas to figure out like where were these shortages happening. And, you know, Primera primarily thought of as a health insurer. So how did funding nursing education come into play? How did that conversation get started within your organization?
Yeah, so I was so fortunate to be asked by the Primera board and our CEO to lead this once in a lifetime of philanthropic effort. So we had been the benefactor of of the corporate tax code changes that then led to a large tax refund being triggered for Primera. And so we said, gosh, let's give a lot of it back to the community. So that amounted to $100 million going to different programs in Washington and Alaska. And in order to do that, you know, I needed to first take a strategic lens. Where are our investment opportunities where we could demonstrate to our communities in both of those states writ large, like across the states, how we're supporting them? And so, as I mentioned before, there were these field trips. And so out of that field trip and out of our previously designated social impact areas, which were behavioral health and health equity, we came up with targeted investment strategies to focus on the workforce pipeline. So both for doctors, both MDs and DOs, as well as nurses, and then looking at behavioral health and different types of programs that we could sponsor across the state. I would say one of the big reasons why we loved this investment opportunity is we tried to look for those programs that had been launched in the past and were successful. And there was a successful launch of an RN to BSN program. And so we wanted to expand that to the whole professional, I'll just say, accreditation scope for nurses. Kara and others brought this great proposal to us that really checked all the boxes. So we're excited to talk about also the successes those programs have had.
100%.
Yeah.
Kara, what made Green River uniquely positioned to support this program? And what were the early signs that your students and the healthcare system needed to build a bridge like this?
Yeah, so we were uniquely positioned because we have an LPN program. Of the other four schools, they all had RN or RNB programs that already kind of existed. And so for us, we already worked with this population of students. We already have a part-time LPN program that was designed for working students in mind. And so we were able to kind of take our knowledge of what the student's skill set is, what their experience is, and build on that in a way that respected their experience that they bring to the table, which was really important for us. We wanted to value that experience because they are still a nurse and they're an amazing nurse. And so how do we just take those skills and hone them and make them, you know, these bachelor's prepared nurses who have these leadership skills that are a little bit more refined? And so we kind of knew what we were looking at, and we had this unique ability to take these students and kind of shape them into this future nurse. And so another thing that I think about is just when we teach these students, we already hear the barriers that they exist. So when we're working with these part-time students, I hear it all the time. Like, I've got 5 kids, I'm working full-time, I am a CNA in the hospital, I'm trying to just make it through the day and not burn out. And so knowing that and having that context going into it, we were really able to make sure that we designed an intentional pathway that allowed our incumbent workers, our parents, our people who, you know, they can't just disconnect from life to do a program like this. And as far as the early signs, I mean, we heard it from all of our students. You know, we've been waiting 10 years for a pathway like this. How come nothing like this exists? We were losing a really large number of students to a university out in the Midwest who offers a program like this at an exorbitant cost to the student. And so for us, it was really like, how do we meet this gap that we're identifying, that we're seeing that these students are constantly frustrated about? Another thing that we have is because we have such a unique and diverse group of students, we have a lot of ELL students, we have a lot of first generation students, we have a lot of really underrepresented students in our programs. So we've already kind of developed wraparound services to support them. We have a nursing academic tutor. We have iBEST programming, which is an amazing resource that the state board kind of put together. So we had these things in place, and it was just taking that and scaling it for this population of students.
What were some of the hardest but most rewarding aspects of designing this program from the ground up?
I think, at least from the college side of things, being that we were the only one who didn't have an RN program, we were literally creating this from scratch. And we were the first ones to do it at the state board level. So one of my biggest hurdles was just helping people wrap their brain around what a program like this looks like. How do you end up with two degrees, essentially, and a different nursing license out of one program? And so a lot of it was just helping people wrap their brains around what a program like this could look like, because Washington State had never seen anything like it. I think as far as other things that were difficult were really just, you know, making sure that we had the policies and the support things in place for these students, so that we weren't chasing them when they got here, so that they had that to begin with. I think that was really important for us.
I think the nursing school leaders that came together on this program showed exemplary tenacity. They really did. Because it was also, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was like standardizing prerequisites, you know, so that LPNs have an expectation of, if I do this, then I can have access to this pathway. So now that exists for the state. The next school that wants to launch this, they know what the prereqs should be. And then it was all of the curriculum development. So Primera knew that we were funding the good, solid work in creating that curriculum, which I'm sure was a Herculean effort. People come to that with different perspectives about what is important and what is not. But as a funder, I was willing to do that because that is something that lasts for decades, for generations. And, you know, many times those things get stifled because there aren't the resources available to help leaders come together and work through those issues and then work through the accreditation boards and all of those things. So, you know, check, Primera's paid for all that, you know, and so that was even before the students started. I was super excited about it because I was like, okay, so then when are the next 4 schools going to launch this? You know, because it was, you know, for me, it was like, this is a game changer for this profession and how this state looks at academic progression.
And I think one of the really amazing things about being part of a really big consortium like this is that we were able to bounce ideas back off of each other. Being the only school that offered an LPN, we were able to provide a perspective about what these students come to the table with that nobody else had. And vice versa, you know, these other schools had BSN programs that they had been running for a long time. And so they knew what that work needed to look like. So being able to kind of bounce ideas off of each other, share curriculum, share ideas, was an amazing asset to this program. It really was. because we were able to identify barriers really early on and kind of mitigate them before they ever would have happened for the student.
We're going to pause our conversation to hear a quick word from our sponsors. Stay with us and we'll be right back. This episode is proudly sponsored by Premera Blue Cross, a not-for-profit with a mission to make healthcare work better. As Washington's hometown health plan, Premera is dedicated to providing its members with access to high-quality healthcare that fits their needs. Through its commitment to supporting local initiatives and fostering innovation, Premera helps ensure we can continue bringing you the inspiring stories that drive the South Sound forward. Premera Blue Cross, always in your corner. Live1045.com is Tacoma's classic rock, featuring music, news, and views from the South Sound. Check out your new radio station. On your phone, go to live1045.com. Welcome back. Thanks again to our sponsor. Now let's pick up right where we left off. It's a testament to your shared collaboration and partnership for sure.
Absolutely, especially between all the schools. And for me, I was also wanting, like, what is the geographic distribution of these programs, right? So I wanted to make sure, like, okay, where are the schools in more rural areas and how are they getting supported and stuff? So to have the four schools that have, you know, pretty different makeup of the communities that they exist in, you know, launch it relatively together. I mean, one went a little earlier than the other three, and to have them all still running and doing wonderfully. I mean, as a funder, that like warms your heart, because sustainability is where it's at. You know, that's what you want to see, is good programs thrive over time. And sometimes good programs don't thrive. For no reason other, you know, there could be many reasons, I should say. So it's just been a testament to all of those schools and the collaboration together.
Absolutely. You have a unique role because you operate as the executive vice president at Premera, but you're also their chief legal officer. Mm-hmm. So when you were looking at this community investment, how did your legal background help navigate this cross-sector partnership? And what was that unique advantage that it kind of brought to the table that may not have been present in a comparable partnership?
Yeah, kind of different to have a chief legal officer maybe be the person responsible for these things. I would say that I'm also accountable at Premera for many other disciplines, including legislative and regulatory affairs. So I have a deep understanding about what it means to work in communities and to work with government, business, the healthcare delivery system in those communities to enable successful results. So I think, you know, what I brought to it is strategic planning, connecting dots, looking for things through a lens that may have been different from nursing leaders, just because I look at the world different because my training is different. And also, as a lawyer, there's a degree of rigor. So, you know, I want to know what is happening, why it's happening, you know, and really having, you know, trusting people, but also having the rigorous plan that we deliver to. I think Mary Baroni had to go through multiple iterations, you know, with my team, you know, to really drive down to specificity. And the other reason why that specificity was so important is I knew ultimately my desire is who's going to fund the next two schools. They don't have to fund the academic prereq and requirements. They don't have to fund some of the things. But what are the elements that can allow businesses to fund component pieces of this to make this an ongoing success at Green River or at a different school? So it was very important to have all of that level of detail articulated so that we could be a good sounding board for the next funder. This is what you, if you're interested in this, this is the kind of money where you can get this kind of result. Because if it's just one, you know, just a big dollar amount with a trusting go deliver that, that's not going to help the entities that are seeking funding in the future actually tell their story effectively and get business people and government officials to understand actually what relatively small dollar amounts can be invested to make a huge impact in the healthcare in our communities.
I love that. I love the transparency of every dollar, yes. Right? Like, and what is the what's the investment? What's the impact? What's the outcome? I think that that's really critical in the healthcare system and for a lot of agencies that operate in the human services sector.
Yeah.
Kara, how did you ensure that the curriculum met BSN standards while still offering flexibilities to LPNs that they needed to keep working and caring for their families?
Yeah, we have to meet all the national and state accreditation standards. It's a given. But when we framed it, we were like, okay, but what does that look like for somebody who has to work 36 hours a week? And so for us, it was looking at flexible scheduling. It was looking at clustering clinicals in a way that they could, you know, do it one day a week so that they're not trying to do 3 and 4 days of clinical while they're doing a job. We tried to intentionally stagger days that they would need to be on campus. So for like our program, students are only on campus one full day and one evening a week so that they can still work. They can still have a family so that they're not sitting there having to make this critical decision of, do I continue my education or do I take care of what it, you know, what it means to feed my family and, you know, go to work and keep my lights on. So for us, it was really about, you know, yes, we have the curriculum, we have the standards, but how do we make that work for somebody who has so much life going on? And, you know, the other thing I think about is like, even when we were building the policies in our program, is keeping that in mind, how do we offer flexible alternatives? Because we know that life happens. How do I meet a student where they're at when they come to me and they tell me, my husband just lost his job and I need to pick up extra shifts or I'm not going to be able to make the rent this month? You know, what does that mean to be able to shift that student to an online platform for a couple of weeks while they just try to survive? And those are some of the things that I've been really fortunate to work with an amazing group of people whose mindset is always focused on the student and how do we get that student to the end goal? And so that was, I think that's really one of the most rewarding things about working in higher education and working with this unique population of people is just that collaboration and the people who, you know, are giving their everything to these students to make sure that they cross that finish line.
It's amazing. And were there any particular student stories that came out of that process that were thriving in the program or captures what made this program so special?
You know, we have a lot of really amazing students, but I think about one who has really taken like the leadership skills that we've worked on developing throughout this program and has gone above and beyond what even a student nurse should be doing. So we have a student who is a representative on the Washington State Nurses Association for students. She sits at a national level with the national board. And one of the amazing things that she did is early on when she got involved with this group, was she identified there's no LPNs at the table. They're not actually members of the national or the state level of, you know, nursing student voice. And so she wrote this large proposal, basically advocating for the inclusion of the LPN voice in one of the biggest, you know, groups that support nursing students in this country. And she really advocated on behalf of this marginalized group who sometimes, you know, we have this tendency to just kind of forget LPNs or think that they're not nurses. And they're amazing and they bring so much to the table. And so seeing this student take this active stance to really bring attention to this underrepresented group of nurses was amazing to me. And she has shared so much knowledge. And I know that, you know, she's graduating from our program here in the next couple of months, and they've actually asked her if she won't graduate so she can be the president of the whole nation for the next year. And she's like, no, I don't want to. I want to graduate. I mean, I totally get that for her. But being able to see these students take these skills that they've learned and they've honed in this program and really go out and make a difference, that to me means everything, because that their legacy is just, it's amazing. And to be a part of that, even if it's just in this tiny little realm, is a beautiful thing. You know, this program is a tiny little blip in their journey, but this student, I think she's going to change the world. I really do believe she will. And it's just really amazing to see all of these students and all of their stories and how they impact their journey and how they, because every student comes with, you know, a story. And what they want to do with nursing is they want to take this story that impacted them and they want to change the world so that it doesn't happen to them again. And I think that it's amazing to be able to foster that in these students and see them go out and do exactly that.
Kitty, how is Primera measuring the impact of this investment, whether it be on the students or on the healthcare system or on community health overall?
Yeah, so as part of most of the larger grants that we've made, we have reporting requirements, right? We want to know not only how our dollars are being used, but are we reaching the outcomes that we sought after? And so typically in a program like this, it's you had planned on 20 students. How many did you get? How many did you keep? How much did you graduate? Many times with some of these grants, we also provided augmented funding for research related to it, so that we can also share this knowledge, not only in transcending opportunities within the state, but outside of the state. We do know that nurses that go, particularly if they have the ability to train in rural areas, they'll stay in rural areas. And so if you don't have either programs located in rural areas like this pathway, or you don't have clinical placements in rural areas, the nursing shortage is even worse in those communities. And so through another one of our grants, there was explicit research about that and following longitudinally students over time that were placed in that program. It was for preceptorships or fellowships after graduation, but then seeing, did they stay in a rural community, whether it was in Washington State, although I wanted that since we're here, or just elsewhere, knowing that now there's actually journal published articles that once again show that linkage. I also just want to, it's amazing watching Kara talk about this. I would say this, you know, the passion that nursing leaders bring to these students, creating this really welcoming environment focused on their success. One of the intended consequences of that is that those nurses want to be faculty members or clinical placement preceptors in the future. It's the giving back part of the importance of clinical placements and faculty. We're short on both. And so if we provide students good experiences in these spaces, they are more likely to feel passion about, you know, spreading that to future generations of students, and we need it because we need to solve those other two problems too, clinical placements and faculty.
That's it for part one of today's episode of Soundtrack. We've laid the groundwork and there's more to come. In part two, we'll pick up the conversation and dig even deeper into the ideas shaping the future of business. See you next episode.
Thank you for listening to Soundtrack, where we explore the heartbeat of the South Sound. We hope you enjoyed today's discussion. And if so, please subscribe, leave a review, share with your friends. Keep tuning in for more insightful conversations that keep you on the right track with all the movers and shakers who are shaping our region. Until next time, keep your ears open and your ideas flowing.